as we said, it's literally developing the character of Christ in us. And we were predestined to be conformed into the image of his son. Everything in the Bible is really, the bottom line is about character and developing character in us. And that's the character of Jesus. And they're supposed to know us by our love. And this love is a, Ted, could I have the diagram up again? This love is not the love of our emotions, a human love. This is the love of God, a sacrificial love. It's hard to, we have to actually live it, to experience it, to understand it, to understand God better. But we have all these emotional problems in our heart. God doesn't have any of those things whatsoever, because he is love. And the fruit of the Spirit is his character. And love holds all those character traits that he has together in harmony, in proper perspective. It takes a lot to get God angry, because he's full of love and mercy and compassion. And he'll go and go and go the extra mile, the extra mile, the extra mile. But finally, when people just refuse, then he can, his wrath is kindled. But can you imagine having none of this at all? And God is so self-sufficient, even in emotional life, that he is love. And it's a sacrificial love. He just wants to love. He has to express that love. That's why he created us, so he could have children to express that love. Maybe you guys remember when your first child was born. Mm-hmm. You're pretty proud, weren't you? Yeah. I created that. Wow. I did that. Whoa. Me? where you've given life to another human being. Of course, your wife had some things to do with that. It didn't just start to happen, as Ted says, but but it's that sacrificial love. This is what motivates him. This is who he is. This is his character. He can't help but love, because he is love. See, that's so hard for us to really grasp the fullness of that, because we have all these emotional problems. We got a lot less than we used to have. But they can still rise up every once in a while, right, Amy? And so, but can you imagine a being that is just full of love? That's why I say the love of God is tangible, because there is nothing impure in it. There is no, God doesn't suffer from rejection. He doesn't have a negative self-image. I mean, he's self-sufficient. He is God. And so he has to express himself that way. And he's created us in such a way, we were actually created to walk and to contain in our hearts the fullness of that love. That's how he created Adam and Eve, until they sinned. He said, if the day you eat of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall die. But the way it comes out in Hebrews is that in dying thou shalt die. It was a two-way death. A spiritual death in separation and union from their father, and ended up in physical death. In dying, thou shalt die, because God is life. He is the source of life. In him, in everything that breathes, he is the breath of life. All animals, plant life, everything. He created the universe. And he created the universe, he created the earth for us to enjoy, to have dominion over it. I mean, he lavished, the Bible says, he lavished his love on us through Jesus Christ. Wow. We have been given every spiritual blessing in the spiritual realms in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is grow up and receive it. And so God has created our hearts in such a way that if we want to experience him, we have to walk in this sacrificial love. You cannot know God except through sacrificial love. We're going to talk a little bit more about love than the other fruits, because it's the foundation character trait of life itself, of God and of our lives. And as we walk in that love, It's in our born-again spirit. We have this stuff in our heart. And so when we're angry at someone, we forgive them, and we do an act of love for them, then we're loving, that love is coming out of our born-again spirit. And through that experience, it becomes part of our heart, and eventually all this stuff gets weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, we're always going to keep growing. We always have the sin principle in our flesh. But when Jesus comes, we are going to receive our glorified bodies, and this is not going to exist anymore. We are going to live in a realm of ecstasy beyond human belief that we cannot even grasp, because we're still in this flesh body. It is something to look forward to. This is why when people die, we can be happy for them. It gets rid of the grieving process, or helps with the grieving process. I said things that people would be shocked at. I said my mom deserved to die. She deserved to go home and be with the Lord. The rough life she had lived, wow. But now I know she's happy. She's in a better place. And we have that to look forward to. And so when we fully grasp that concept, we're not afraid of death. Or we shouldn't be. We look forward to it in the sense that we've lived our life, whatever happens, whatever may happen, or whenever we die, or even accidents, we know where we're going. Yes. And we know how good it's going to be. So we look forward to it in that sense. So we want to talk about this love, and this aspect of love, as we said, all the other fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't say the fruits of the Spirit, like you study them as separate fruits, but they all flow out of this aspect of love. This is why sacrificial love for others and servanthood is the foundational character trait of spiritual life. So as we say, we have three root problems, but we have three root answers. And those root answers, again, are righteousness by faith. Because if your heart doesn't have a revelation of that, then your heart cannot accept all that you have in Christ. Your heart can't comprehend it because it's been trained by law and legalism. So everyone needs their own revelation of righteousness by faith. And that comes from meditating, meditating, and meditating. And then meditating some more and some more and some more. And then meditating again. Get some scriptures on righteousness. Repeat them every day. Study them. Think about them. And as you do that, the Holy Spirit will make more real to you this reality of righteousness by faith. You experience the joy of your salvation when you first get saved. But you have to also, every time you sin, your heart condemns you, and the devil puts, you felt like 500 pounds had been lifted off your shoulders, but the devil puts it back on a pound at a time, unless you have a revelation of righteousness by faith. This is why so many people fall away. They say that even today, the people that get saved, only 5% really stick with it and get into the church and grow, because the devil starts attacking them as soon as they become born again, and if they're not taught properly, they just end up going back to where they came from. Once that initial experience wears off, then they're not strong enough to resist, because they haven't had the teaching, or don't understand who they are in Christ, what they have in Christ, or they don't have a revelation of righteousness by faith. Their heart condemns them. All this negative stuff rises up. They feel like they're no good. They need deliverance, many of them. And if they don't get deliverance, then the devil just keeps plaguing them. They go to church 1 hour a week, and the devil has them the rest of the week. So you know what's going to happen. If they don't get strong, don't get prayed for, and find someone to mentor them, then eventually they just fall away again. So it's a sad situation in a nation like this, where we have so much freedom, but the church suffers in many ways because of it. So what happens is that these other fruit just naturally flow out of love. And the third, so that's the most important character trait of all. And then the third thing that's important that we always have to remember to do, forgive from the heart, not just lip service, but forgiveness from the heart. And so we do those three things, then we're going to grow in Christ. We're going to keep our act together. As the more we grow, the more we learn the more we can perceive and understand spiritual things, His Word is a light unto my path. And so the Holy Spirit can enlighten us more. The more you receive, the more you grow, the more you receive. It's a snowball effect where you get more and more into spiritual things and understand things better. We're going to look at some scriptures now about love. Let's turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. And we just sort of want to see this from God's perspective. Always, I know when I first got saved, I was always asking God 1,000 questions. How do you see this? How do you look at this? Because I really couldn't understand it from my viewpoint, so I wanted to see it from His viewpoint. But He always just kept showing me. I said, what do you think about it, Lord? How do you see this? And then the Holy Spirit would teach me. But we're always trying to understand it. We got to get our head around to realize the spiritual realm is completely opposite to the way that we always thought in the world. And get our head around that and just... So that's, as a teacher, I like to get down to the bottom line and what's important, and then everything else will flow out of that. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7 to 10. The Lord did not set His affection on you. He's talking about the nation of Israel now. And choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your forefathers that He brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, which is a type of the world. So that's true about us also. He doesn't love us because we're such a big church and we're so numerous. He loves us because He loves us. Because He can't help but love us. Because He is love. There was nothing. We were all sinners. We were all in sin. And so there wasn't a holy God. There wasn't anything in us that attracted Him to us. It was His love in His own heart that He wanted fulfilled. And so He sent Jesus to die for us so that we could get to know Him. That kind of love has to be shared. You can't contain it. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping His covenant of love. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made a covenant with us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We know it's a covenant of love because it was love that sent Jesus to the cross. So this love, a covenant of love, a covenant is the most powerful, a blood covenant is the most powerful concept known to man. And here we have a covenant made by the Creator of the universe between you and I through Jesus, and it is established on His love, a covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love Him and keep His commands. But those who hate Him, He will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate Him. Therefore, take care to follow the commands, decrees, and laws I give you today. So we have this awesome God who is love. He can't help but love us. Bible says that love knits us together. We're knit together by love. As we sacrifice for one another, you sacrifice for your children. I think the most painful thing for parents is that they bring a child into the world, spend 20 years raising it, sacrificing for it, working hard so the child can have everything they need, send them to school, buy them clothes, all that sacrifice there. Plus, it's part of their blood, their flesh, their character is in that child. And to sacrifice that much, and then to have the teenage is a hard years because children naturally rebel at that stage. But if they go into drugs or into alcohol or things like that, the pain that that brings to the parents, because that child is bound into their hearts by the sacrifice that they have done for that child. And then the child goes and acts like they don't even... You know, one of the promises of God for long life is honor your father and your mother. What a promise. honor your father and your mother, and you will live long. That's the God of love. He created the marriage covenant so that he could have godly children, because each child needs the proper love and discipline from a father and a mother to be anywhere near emotionally stable enough to conduct a normal life. If we don't have that, or we didn't have it as children, we can get it now in Jesus. Through walking in this sacrificial love, we get everything that we need to deal with all of this stuff that we have in our hearts. So this next week, we're going to teach on all the things that love does and how important it is. Deuteronomy 10, 12, 13. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I am giving you today for your own good. Love is the answer to every problem, because love gets rid of all of this. And everything that people want, they will only find to have even a wholeness in your life, a joy in your life, the joy of the Lord even, or have peace of God in your heart, to be blessed in all that you set your hand to prosper in all that you do in this life and in the life to come. All depends upon the love walk. We love God because he first loved us. Couldn't believe God called me into the ministry. And as I said many times, the first 6 months I went to church, I just cried, because he loved me, after the way I've lived. And then he called me into the ministry. Wow, just blew me out of the water. That's why we were able to sell our farm and just walk away from it, because the creator of the universe called us, and he loved me. Got me out of a mental institution in 7 days when they said I'd be out of there the rest of my life. Did a deliverance on me. Wow. I made him a lot of promises. God has a way of dealing with us. But I don't regret one thing I went through, because everything helped me to know him better. You know, everything that I went through in with that demonic attack, that testing that we had because of our ministry, it opened up the whole spiritual realm to me. I went to Bible school. Kathy took notes. I just listened, because I could understand everything. It was just the most amazing thing. Usually, I guess because of the specific call God had in my life, you have to grow through adversity and all these other things, which I still had to do. But you can't even get a revelation unless you've spent time with God and you know, continue to grow in him, walk in love. But for the test that he put me through, the devil desired to have me to test me as wheat. Because of that test, God could then give me all that revelation so I could do what he called me to do. And it was just, I knew when the teachers were wrong. I knew when what they were saying was all right. I knew when it was off, or whether they were giving their own opinion on something, and I would try to tell them what the word said. And, you know, they were trying to teach us that, it was the book of Job, that Job was prideful. Yeah. And that's why these things happened to him. I said, but the Bible says that God said it was without cause. Yeah, I know, but, see, they had to have an answer for it, so there was no answer. God just did what he did with Job for his own reasons. But see, we have to figure out an answer, and so we don't have the revelation, then we make up the answer. That's why there's so much confusion with prophecy. All right, let's look at Psalm 91. That whole psalm is so good, but we're going to read verses 14 to 16. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Because he loves me, says the Lord. God just wants us to love him back. How can we not love somebody who's done so much for us when we didn't deserve it? We were born again. Romans 5 and 5 says the love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. We experienced something different. You all remember that. And it was like, wow, why didn't somebody tell me this sooner? The Lord said, they were trying, you weren't listening. It took Kathy 6 months of prayers for the Lord to get through to me. But once he got through, wow. And I got so hungry because I'd been spiritually starved all my life concerning God. Because he loves me, says the Lord. And if we love him, we will obey him, Jesus said. Jesus also said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He also said, they will know you by your love. They will know you are Christians because you will have a love that is beyond human comprehension. Kathy actually loved me to the Lord. She just kept loving me, and my heart started to melt, and I knew she had something that I needed, but I didn't know what it was. And she kept talking about this Jesus, and I got a little jealous. She found somebody that was more important than me. But in the end, it was good. I hadn't dealt with my rejection and my jealousy yet. God's a jealous God, you know. He jealously yearns over us. When we do things the world way or the devil's way, the book of James calls it, says we are adulterous people, like we are cheating on our bride or our bridegroom. God loves us so much, and he's done so much for us. He gets jealous when we live not his way and do things our own way or the devil's way. He jealously yearns over us. So we're committing spiritual adultery because we're supposed to be the bride of Christ in its fullest form. Hallelujah. So Romans 5 and 5, let's just have a look at that. And hope, let's start actually in verse 1. That's so good. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure, like myself, you all experienced that peace when you gave your heart to Jesus. Everything just seemed to be all right. There wasn't, it was like you had 3 months where you were so happy and peaceful and you knew you were right with God. Then the devil started attacking after about 3 months. But you tasted that the Lord was good. And that should have been enough to keep you going in Christ. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. You got saved by grace. We did not earn it. Every revelation that you got, you could not figure out. It came by grace because of the new birth, because that came through the death of Jesus and the resurrection of Jesus. Everything has been given to us. All spiritual blessings in the heavenly realms. It's all grace. Everything that we have accomplished, every time God used us to do a miracle, it was his grace. That's why we can take no credit for it. You cannot pat yourself on the back because of the fact that God used to heal somebody or deliver somebody, because then you're taking the credit for it. And it only happens because of what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So this is kingdom thinking. That way you can handle the power of God and never get prideful, never get arrogant, keep humble. Because God gives grace to the humble. Start getting prideful because of how God has used you, and it's happened to many people, then they start to lose God's grace. Then you don't maybe get those warnings to slow down or put on your brakes. So this whole life that we live here is all for Jesus. And he's done it all, and it's all by his grace. We didn't earn it. We can't do anything without Jesus. He said, without me, you can do nothing. It's God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure through the new birth. I didn't want to change when I got saved. I told you many times that I told Kathy no religious hypocrite was going to tell me how to live. I told God I didn't want to go to church, not about a bunch of religious hypocrites. He said, go ahead, there's room for one more. He'll straighten you out too. I said it to him a second time. He said, well, then you go teach him how to do it if you're so good. So I've endeavored to try. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. What a process, eh? We're always taught about who we are in Christ and the authority that we have, and everybody gets all excited about that. And it gets to be a thing of entitlement. But if you don't live the life, and you can't live the life without opposition, then it's just hype. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. So if we've experienced Jesus, and we all have, that is the witness of the Holy Spirit, that everything is true. We could not experience Jesus unless he was raised from the dead. And he could not be raised from the dead unless all of our sins were paid for. See how teaching line upon line is a logical sequence from God's perspective, but it has to be logical spiritually. And so Jesus paid for all of our sins. When they were all paid for, God raised them from the dead. We were justified. If we were not justified, Jesus would still be paying for our sins. So we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because Jesus was raised from the dead. And we know that that is true because if we were not born again and God had not sent his Holy Spirit, then we would not have experienced Jesus in our hearts. And yet Christians get so confused and their heart condemns them and they beat themselves up and the devil beats them up and how could God love me? Because they don't even understand the basics, foundational truths that they're supposed to build on. And unless we get those, then we're more open to the attack of evil. So we've experienced God in our hearts. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts. And because God loves us, we naturally have an inclination to love him back and to love others. This is why Jesus said, if you only love those that love you, what benefit is it to you? That's why he said, love your enemies. He was really teaching the people how to live better than the Pharisees and beyond law and legalism and in that realm of grace. And I think many people get confused with grace. You know, in all my travels, I found most of the body of Christ all over the world is still living under law and legalism because even pastors, many of them have said to me, I don't understand grace, so I don't know how to teach it. And so they're good people, and they're trying to do good to please God, but it's so they'll be accepted and they'll feel better about themselves. But if they get into that realm of understanding grace and how it functions in our lives, they'd realize they're already accepted. They just have to grow up. It's a big, big difference. And we need the grace of God. And he gives grace to the humble. So the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Let's look at 1 John. It'd be good to read 1 John. We actually have a Bible school course on the love walk, which is about 12 hours long. But we're just going to teach this week and next week on it, and then we'll go to the other fruit of the Spirit. But I'm going to read 1 John from the Amplified Bible. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. And this is how we may discern daily by experience. See, now this is the difference between head knowledge and experience. That we are coming to know him, to perceive, recognize, understand, and become better acquainted with him, if we keep, bear in mind, observe, practice his teaching, his precepts, his commandments. And Jesus gave them two commandments. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and love one another as you do yourself. Whoever says, I know him, I perceive, I recognize, understand, and am acquainted with him, but fails to keep and obey his commands, teachings, is a liar. Those are pretty strong words, aren't they? But Jesus never sugarcoated anything. He just spoke unadulterated spiritual truth. And the Holy Spirit, through the apostles, also spoke the same way. Like, you can't play games with God. You say you love God but hate your brother, well, then you're a liar. You don't love God, because to love God is to love one another. And the truth of the gospel is not in him, but he who keeps, treasures his word, who bears in mind his precepts, who observes his message in its entirety, truly in him has the love of God and for God been perfected, completed, reached maturity. By this we may perceive, know, recognize, and be sure that we are in him. So, as we continue to love our enemies, who's your enemy? Whoever hurt you, whoever you're ticked off at, whatever they may have said, they may not even have intended to hurt you. But as you keep loving them and praying for them and forgiving them, so it doesn't, if we don't, then our heart's going to react out of these negative things, and that's going to get stronger in us. But if we keep walking in love, then we know we are in Christ. See, saying there's spiritual truths. You're born again, yes, you are in Christ. But the reality of it is, if we don't walk in love, you're not really in him, just in your head. But your heart's not in him. It's the difference between the head and the heart. And much of Christianity is lived out of the head. And then when something goes wrong, they live out of their emotions, because they haven't trained themselves to walk in love, practice love. It's not something that comes natural to the human heart, because the human heart has all of these things. Rejection, rebellion, and pride. God doesn't have any of those problems. See, rejection will want a position or want to be used or want to be acknowledged. And so then when God does a miracle through them, they want people to acknowledge them because of their rejection. But then that's all the glory they're going to get from God. And they didn't do it in humility, giving the glory to God. They took it themselves. So Jesus said, you already have your reward. You won't get any from me. This is also why Jesus said that many will come to him in that day and say, have we not cast out demons, prophesied in your name? I'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. You never experienced me. You didn't do that for me. You did that for you. You used my power to lift up your name, to have a better position among men. Well, you got that, so that's your reward. Forget the rest. Pretty scary stuff, isn't it? And yet people run for the power, and power is fine, but if you don't have the character to handle it, it's dangerous. So nothing more important than walking in love and developing the character of Jesus. Whoever says he abides in him ought, as a personal debt, to walk and conduct himself in the same way in which he walked and conducted himself. As a personal debt, we were bought with a price, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe him our lives. Our eternal destiny is in his hands. Everything that we do has to be in view of Jesus and what he did. Because otherwise, we do it out of our own strength, our own ambition, our own desires, our own motivations. And that will not get us any eternal benefit. Everything points to the Son. That's the way God has this, the Son of God. This is the way the Father has set everything up. And this is the way he's created our hearts. And our own life depends on it, in the sense of, we already read the scripture, he loves us, and because we love him with long life, he will satisfy us, he will protect us. Well, all of those are true if we walk in love. But if we don't walk in love, we're not walking in him, we're not living in him, we're not recognizing what he has done. We're just taking advantage and using him and his name to do and to make us more important. It's very serious stuff before the Lord. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. I teach these things to pastors all over the world because this is kingdom thinking. If we don't think that way, God can still use us, but there's no benefit to it in eternity for us. 1 John 3:1. See what an incredible quality of love the Father has given, shown, bestowed on us, lavished on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. We can never get to the point that we just take for granted that we are in Christ and we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That is merely a position in Christ so that we can live for him. But if we're not living for him and we just take that for granted, then we're messing ourselves up. The devil has so many ways to mess us up. He'll work through our pride, and we'll have this great ambition, and we'll have a world ministry, and we'll do this, and we'll change this, and we're going to do this for God, and we. We can't do nothing without the grace of God and the calling of God. And you try and do it, if you don't have the calling, you will learn the hard way. Quality of love the Father has given, showed, bestowed on us, that we should be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. The reason that the world does not recognize, acknowledge us is that it does not know or recognize or acknowledge him. Everywhere I travel in the world, when I meet other Christians, there's an inner, automatically, a union there, because we're one in the Spirit. But if you have people out there that are not Christians, there isn't that same sense. 1 John 4, this is really quite good. All of the 1 John is really good stuff on the subject of love. Chapter 4, I'm going to start in verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clearer knowledge of him. God wants unity in the body of Christ today. He's building his church. And what has separated us is our theology, our pride, our arrogance, in that we have all the answers and the other guys are dummies. And we build up walls and barriers. Jesus took them down on the cross, we built them back up. And God is bringing down those walls and those barriers. People get together and praise the Lord, and they think that's unity. No, that's just uniformity. It's when we actually give our ministry to the Lord and are concerned and understand that your victory is my victory, my victory is your victory, and that we are one, and that Jesus is Lord over us all. God has only ever had one church. We have, mankind, when I say we, has splintered that off into all different denominations, theological concepts, and different beliefs. And then they get religious, they get prideful, and there's a new move of God, and God stirs up hearts to in this new move, and then the older people, they got religious, they start bad-mouthing the new move because they're jealous. They think that these new people think they're better because they got this and got that, and are doing miracles, and then they find reasons to discredit them. And the walls keep getting built up. But God has only ever had one church. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. So if we say we know God better than anybody else, then we should have more love. And if we had more love, we wouldn't be bad-mouthing them or running them down or trying to put them below us, because love doesn't do that. You see how ridiculous it all is? The devil just gets the church running in circles. The more revelation you have, or the better you know God, then the more love you should have. They're not going to know you by your knowledge. There's all kinds of theologians out there that have never really had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, Pastor Daniel one time told me that he met this man that was a theologian, and he was telling me about him. He says, yeah, but does he love Jesus? Well, Daniel started laughing because, you know, a theologian is supposed to know God, but they don't always know God. I was actually at a meeting with a bunch of theologians in Serbia through the theological center there that we worked with for a while. And they were from all over North Africa and Belgium and different places. And one man got up and said, well, in Germany there's some, in Belgium there's some neat things happening and some miracles are happening and these people are getting excited and, you know, it seems like God is doing something. But eventually they're going to have to come to us because they're the theologians and they got all the brains and know God. These people are just excited about something that isn't important. I couldn't believe he said it. And I kept my mouth shut. I couldn't believe that either. He who does not love has not become acquainted with God. Does not and never did know him, for God is love. You can go to any church and ask the congregation, do you love Jesus? Put up your hand. Everybody will raise their hand. Yet they'll fight and squabble and kick and scratch and claw with each other all the time they're there. In this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through him. This is how God displayed and showed his love to us. He sent Jesus to die, his own Son to die for us. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for our sins. This is why we submit to him. This is why we make him our Lord. This is how love is supposed to work in the family. You have some nations, like in Egypt, they want you to teach the women to obey their husbands. We say, no, we teach the husbands to love their wives and then they'll submit and obey. We have to love people into submission. That's how authority works in the spiritual realm. It's not a position where you are in charge and you can order people around. It's a position where you have to serve and love the people and they submit to that godly character. Beloved, if God loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another. No man has at any time yet seen God, but if we love one another, God abides, lives, and remains in us. And his love, that love which is essentially his, is brought to completion, to its full maturity, run its full course, is perfected in us. That's when we are at peace. That's when we are mature. That's when we can handle all the storms of life. When we've built our lives on the rock, on the Word of God, and all of this starts to disappear, and we have the peace of God, and we can function as one body. Love is an amazing thing, isn't it? Such a powerful concept. But it's so hard on the flesh. Where did I leave off here? Somebody help me out. What scripture were we at? 1 John 4, verse 12. All right. Verse 13. By this we come to know, perceive, recognize, and understand that we abide, live, and remain in him and he in us. Because he has given, imparted to us of his Holy Spirit. So to abide in Christ is to walk in sacrificial love for others. And besides, we ourselves have seen, have deliberately and steadfastly contemplated and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son as the Savior of the world. Love, this sacrificial love doesn't, you know, it's loving your enemies. The greater your enemy or the more you are hurt, the more you can grow because you can exercise love in that situation. But there's acts of love, just saying hi to your neighbor and to strangers and so forth, things like that. But also need wisdom and guidance. Don't throw your pearls before swine. And so there has to be wisdom. We're teaching love here from the perspective of love and how it's supposed to affect us. But we also have to have wisdom. As I've said before, if we're walking down the street and some drug addict starts beating up on Kathy to take her purse, I'm not going to tell Kathy to turn the other cheek. I'm going to grab him, call Big John to sit on him. But I won't beat him up and half kill him like I used to. I would just sit on him until the police came. See, we're not the devil's doormat either. All right? Anyone who confesses, acknowledges, owns that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides, lives, makes his home in him, and he abides, lives, makes his home in God. And we know, understand, recognize, are conscious of by observation and by experience and believe, adhere to, put faith in, and rely on the love God cherishes for us. We can trust God because he is love and he died for us. All things work together for the good of those who love God. God will bring good out of everything that you have gone through if you go through it his way. And so we can rely on the love of God, his protection. When I go overseas, my family, they don't say too much, but every once in a while they question me. Is it safe over there? I don't mean my immediate family, my kids and that, because they know I'm not going to listen anyways, but my brothers and sisters who don't know God, they get so concerned that I'm doing these silly, going to these silly places. But all the time that I've been overseas, I have never once had any kind of fear whatsoever. Maybe I'm just naive, I don't know, but we've been in places where in Egypt for 10 years where we were under guard 24 hours a day with army men and rifles and army escorts, but I just wasn't afraid because perfect love casts out fear. If God called me there, I have a job to do, then he's going to look after me. Well, the job is done. When the door is closed, I need to get out. The love God cherishes for us, God is love, and he who dwells and continues in love dwells and continues in God, and God dwells and continues in him. In this union, communion with him, love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us, that we may have confidence for the day of judgment with assurance and boldness to face him, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're not afraid of dying and standing before God because we've walked in love all of our lives. There is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but full-grown, complete, perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of terror. It also gets rid of rejection, rebellion. There is no rejection in love. God doesn't have any rejection. He doesn't have any rebellion. He doesn't have any pride. He's not a perfectionist. He's perfect. For fear brings with it the thought of punishment. And so he who is afraid has not reached full maturity of love, is not yet grown into love's complete perfection. You realize that this is why Paul said that I may be found in him having no righteousness of my own. See, I can't say, well, I fasted 35 years. I put up with a lot of nonsense. I loved a lot of people through a lot of things. I'm pretty good now. I can relax. I'm pretty good now. Righteousness of my own. See, you can never take that attitude. That's why I've often said I'm still a smuck, just a better smuck than I used to be. Because I don't want any righteousness of my own. I want to be able to stay humble, to receive more grace, to grow more in love, to become more like Christ. But I have to think spiritually. If I don't think spiritually, these negative emotions that I still have will start to take over. You have to see how God's got this thing set up and how our hearts work so that you're always on guard. We love him because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, hates, detests, abominates his brother in Christ, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. Remember I told you the story about a pastor in Guelph that had a large church of over 400 people, and he had a door greeter that refused to greet a certain couple every time they came in because he was mad at them. The pastor said, you know, what do I do with a guy like that? Haul him in the office and talk to him about love and tell him he's a liar. He doesn't love God. How can you hate your brother and say you love God? It's not possible because you're living out of a deceived heart. You know, we use these words so loosely. Oh, yes, I love Jesus. The first time somebody gives us a hard time, we want to do something nasty or say something nasty. And this command, charge, order, injunction we have from him, that he who loves God shall love his brother, believer also. I want to just finish with 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So when you see how important love is, it's easy to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reason and intentional spiritual devotion, such as inspired by God's love for us and in us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. So speaking in tongues in and of itself is good for us. It edifies us, builds us up, but if we don't walk in love, we're just making a bunch of noise and it's not helping us. And if I have a prophetic power, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, and understand all the secret truths and mysteries and possess all knowledge, and I have sufficient faith so that I can remove mountains but have not love, God's love in me, I am nothing, a useless nobody. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor in providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory, but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. So without this sacrificial love before God in the spiritual realm, we are nothing, we have nothing, and we gain nothing. And God can still work through us to heal the sick and cast out demons. But with this love, we have everything. So you see how important the sacrificial love of God is in our lives. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. And if you obey me, then myself and my Father will come and make our home in you. We will abide in you. We will reveal ourselves to you. We will make ourselves manifest to you. See, you can only experience God through this sacrificial love. And so it is important that we practice this in our lives continually. Never quit loving people. Book of Romans says that no debt should remain unpaid except the debt of love. I should never say, I've loved enough. I've loved God enough. I've loved you enough. I've had it. I quit. No, I always owe you love. I always owe God love. He paid a debt I could not pay and gave me this new life. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your wisdom and your counsel, Father. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that makes this more real to us, Father. Lord, as we continue to